Good morning and welcome to Perspectives. I'm Joan Herman. On November 8th, Oregon voters will decide the fate of a controversial initiative. Ballot Measure 97 would impose a 2.5% gross receipts tax on corporations with Oregon sales exceeding $25 million. If approved, Measure 97 would swell state coffers by an estimated $3 billion, or approximately 25%. Supporters say the measure would help stabilize Oregon's funding base, require large businesses to pay their fair share of taxes, and help shore up Oregon's schools, as well as many other critical state-funded programs. Opponents argue that the measure amounts to a backdoor, regressive sales tax and would affect not only huge out-of-state corporations, but many Oregon companies as well. And opponents claim those higher costs of doing business would in turn be passed on to consumers. Joining us by telephone today is Measure 97 supporter Otto Schell, who is the legislative director of the Oregon PTA. And in the studio is Measure 97 opponent Skip Hauke, a longtime Astoria businessman and the executive director of the Astoria-Warrenton Area Chamber of Commerce. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. To start, I'd like to give each of you a couple minutes to summarize your position for or against the measure. And I'll start with you, Otto. Why should Oregonians vote for Measure 97?
Well, thank you. You did a good summary of the measure itself. The reality is, and the main reason that Oregon PTA, a statewide organization with over 100 years of advocacy for kids and families, endorsed this unanimously is because for 25 years we've been waiting for a fix on school funding. Back in 1990, actually 26 years now, Oregonians voted to pass Measure 5, which transferred the responsibility of funding schools away from property tax and onto the state. Since that time, we've relied primarily on personal income tax and the lottery, and we all know what that has resulted in with a really unstable and uneven funding of schools. We also understand that there are huge needs in health care and senior services, and Measure 97 is designed to pay for all those things by requiring large and mostly out-of-state corporations to pay a fair share.
Thank you. Skip, how do you respond to that? Why should voters defeat Measure 97?
Well, first of all, I think it's fair to say that the Astoria-Warrenton Chamber of Commerce rarely either endorses or votes against a measure. But we can. We're allowed to do so by our bylaws. And the board of directors allowed me or advised me to come out against ballot measure 97. We think it is a backdoor sales tax, and the sales tax has been voted down 8 or 9 different times, and this way is just coming in through the back door, and it's going to be passed down to consumers. Now, those in favor of 97 say that it will not be passed down to consumers, but I find that very, very hard to believe. Being 40 years in the grocery business, I know what the profit margin is in that business, and if it were passed down through my wholesaler, I'd have to raise prices. There's just no question about it. The other problem we have with the measure is it's being sold as a way to increase funding for education, health care, and the elderly. And the proponents have no idea how the legislature would vote to spend it.
Okay, thanks, Skip. Otto, would you like to respond to that at all, especially Skip's last point?
Yes, and thanks for that opportunity. So in the measure itself, and I invite folks to, in the modern era, everybody's got a website. Of course, we have a vote yes on 97.org website. The No campaign, of course, has their own website. But I invite people to go and actually look at the language of the measure. What we're doing, Measure 97, is updating the existing law for corporate minimum tax. And in Section 3 of that measure, it says, and I'll just read it. It's very short. It's a sentence. It says, quote, revenue generated by the increase in this tax created by the 2016 Act shall be used to provide additional funding to public early childhood, kindergarten through 12th grade education, health care and services to senior citizens, and it, end of quote. It says it not once but twice, and when we win on Measure 97, when the voters approve it, that becomes the law, and the legislature has to do those things. I understand why people want to try to create a distraction, but the reality is that this measure is designed to fund schools, seniors, and health care. We also know that we participate, Oregon PTA, I'm sure the chamber, I know the chamber participates in Salem. Every 2 years we create a budget. Majority of that state budget is made up of education, health care, and senior services. There's also some public safety, state police, running courts, prisons. But the focus of most of the budget is 80% is on those things that Measure 97 will be helping to fund.
Okay, thank you. The ballot measure would result, as I mentioned a minute ago, in approximately a 25% increase in the state's income tax revenue, or tax revenues in general. So how did the measure's drafter settle on such a large amount, the 2.5% gross receipts tax, Otto?
Sure, you bet. Well, to start right from the get-go, we know that if Measure 97 is not successful, we go immediately into a cuts budget. The governor has been in the news in the last period of weeks, recognizing that the current revenue will put us about $1.3 billion, with a B, short of current services. So we start there if there's no additional revenue. And on top of that is the Oregon Health Authority has asked for an additional billion on top of that because the federal dollars for the expansion of Medicaid are tapering off. We went into that agreement with the feds knowing that that would be the case. The responsibility then is shifted to the state, and we will need to figure out how to fund that. And then every biennium, every 2 years, the quality education model is created by the state. It's mandated by the legislature. It was voted in by the voters that the state has to report out, are we funding schools adequately, and if not, why not? And every year, every 2 years, we've been between $3 and $2 billion short of the quality education standards for schools. So we start out with a $1.3 billion whole. We've got $2 billion and a biennial number for K-12 and an additional $1 billion for health care. You can see why we the coalition, aimed high. The revenue is needed, the holes are big, and the need for services for Oregonians is profound.
Okay, the $3 billion is considerably more than the shortfall. So I'm just again wondering why the big discrepancy.
Yeah, I think, well, particularly from education, and that's the part that I know very well, education and services to kids from the PTA. I can tell you that we've been below the national average for some time now, for 25 years. My kid was in kindergarten when I started advocating through the PTA, volunteering on to advocate on campaigns and such. He graduated from college in May, and we've been giving kids less every year in that entire time that he went through our entire education system. So, for the kids going forward, we have to do something to break that cycle. The actual need for education is to make up for the legacy of underfunding below the national average for many, many years now.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. So, Skip, as you well know, schools, good schools help business, and
we need
good schools to sustain business. So why wouldn't the chamber support this measure?
Well, I disagree with Otto from one standpoint that he says that the legislature has to put it towards that. This is not a constitutional amendment. It is simply a ballot measure. And the only thing that can force the legislature as to how to spend money is a constitutional amendment. And the legislature hasn't met on this. They don't know how they're going to spend it. Actually, they can spend it any way they want. It does not have to go to education. It does not have to go to medical services. And it does not have to go to the elderly. And even if it did, even if the next legislature, if this passed and the next legislature said that's where it's going, they can't bind the hands of the next legislature. So the next legislature could then say, we're going to use it to pay off PERS debt or raise salaries for state employees. They can do anything they want with it. As a matter of fact, as we sit here today, there are legislatures trying to figure out how to change this thing, changes have to be made to make this workable. And matter of fact, even our governor has said that she thinks some changes need to be made, but she's not going to do anything till after it's passed. Well, so then we're being asked to vote on something that we have no idea where it's going to end up. They can change it any way they want.
Well, reading the voter's pamphlet does state that the legislature does have authority to spend the money as it chooses. But that said, 80% of the state's budget goes towards schools and healthcare services and the other programs that the supporters outline. So, Otto, would you like to respond to Skip's comment?
Sure. It's amazing. And, Skip, I regret that you and I have not met, and I look forward to someday maybe when I'm in Astoria, we'll make that happen.
Yep.
I think that you hit the nail on the head, Joan, about what is the reputation of Oregon? Do we have good schools? Do we have a strong safety net? Those are the kinds of things that really contribute to a reputation for a state as a good place to raise a family, to open a business, and to create, you know, opportunities. I would say to folks who have questions about who we are and why are we doing what we're doing with Measure 97 is the first stop is go look at our coalition. And I pulled it up while we were talking here. I see the Astoria Coffee House and Bistro is part of an amazing list of hundreds and hundreds of small businesses that have stepped up to say, we know that big corporations are going to pay this. We're not going to pay this. We, the small business folks. The reality is that we are 47th in graduation rate. The new absentee report puts us losing ground on kids coming to school and staying in school. We have the third largest class size in the nation. This is our reputation as a state. That's a problem. In Portland, we frequently have people that jockey between Southwest Washington and North, in Portland, the metro area. Right now, the tension is: If I have a family, do I live in Clark County, Washington? Because they at least fund their schools. We encounter that all the time in our world, where business recruiters say, "Yeah, Oregon seems like a great place for a lifestyle, but what about those schools and what about those services?" We have a couple hundred thousand Oregonians who still don't have access to health care. We know that they'll show up in our emergency rooms. It's a bad deal for the taxpayers. It's a lousy way to provide health care. We have 1 in 20 seniors retiring into poverty. A large number of seniors are going to move into retirement with little or no savings. We as a state need to plan for those things. So I invite folks to go and look at who's our coalition and then go look at who's their coalition. The largest of the large corporations, Comcast, Wells Fargo, Monsanto, folks like that are funding their campaign. That we are firefighters, health care providers, home health care workers, parents like me volunteering. There's a stark contrast, and I invite people to take a look at that and then decide who can I trust, who's looking out for the little guy.
I would invite the listeners to also take a look at the supporters of Ballot Measure 97. I think they will find that a large, large part of the dollars are coming from about 20 of the strongest unions in the state. And once again, we just look at it. The only reason the Astoria Warrenton Chamber is against it, it's just not a good bill for business. And if these folks think that none of this corporate tax, the largest in our state's history, if none of it is going to get brought down to the local citizen and the grocery stores, I mean, Pacific Northwest or Pacific Power, the gas company, they've already stated they'll have to raise prices. I don't understand how they think the large corporations. You take a look at Safeway and Albertsons, and yes, I know they put money into this campaign, probably Fred Meyer too. But I know what the profit margin is in the grocery business. They can't take a hit. They will pass it on. And that comes down through the wholesalers and right down to the retail stores on the local level. And and you're going to see if they can't pass it on, then they're going to have to take away jobs. And even the state themselves have stated that the passage of this could cost 38,000 jobs. And so it's just hard for me to understand how we can say it's not going to get passed down.
Go ahead, Otto.
Yeah, you bet. Well, it is not a surprise, and Skip is doing a good job of delivering the no messages, and I'm going to work hard to deliver the yes messages. So here's what I know about the 56 contributors to the no campaign have $690 billion in offshore profits. I mean, we are talking the largest of the large corporations, and none of this is a secret. This is all public record. You can easily go and look at that. But 56 of the no campaign with $690 billion, billion with a B, in offshore profits. These guys, these large corporations, they can absorb the cost of Measure 97. We also know, and we have the Oregon Consumer League did a comparison between prices for groceries in North Dakota, which is right below Alaska on the top highest corporate taxes, versus Oregon. Compare a basket of goods of Cheerios and chicken breast and things that you and I might buy, you know, regularly at the grocery store. North Dakota, high corporate tax business rate, same prices as the good basket of goods in Oregon. We understand why the No campaign wants to frighten people, because we've seen this before in other campaigns. Measure 66 and 67, the sky was falling, businesses are going to leave, they're all going to move away, the world's going to come to an end. Wasn't true then, not true now. We even have created, and people can go and look at it, and on our website, the voteyes97.org, we have the big corporate playbook, which documents all those times that the No campaign has used those messages in lots of campaigns. It's a familiar playbook, and I understand why they use them, because it frightens people. But if you look at the facts, you're going to find out that not only can these corporations absorb it, they absorb it everywhere else. There are grocery stores in North Dakota, and I promise you there'll be grocery stores in Oregon after Measure 97.
I think the one thing that differs between North Dakota, I don't know what their corporate tax is. Do you know what their corporate tax is?
I know that on the Ernst & Young study, they are right below Alaska in business taxes.
Okay. I'll bet they're not going for 2.5%. I think Washington's is 0.5, and I think it's Ohio that's 0.3, and we're going after 2.5. That's a lot of difference.
It is different, and I don't disagree with that, Skip. I will tell you, though, that they don't start out with an exemption of $25 million in sales. We don't kick the 2.5% in Oregon under Measure 97 doesn't kick in until $25 million in sales.
And only C Corp. What happened to S Corp?
Yeah, correct.
Why do we have a difference between C Corp and S Corp?
And he's referring to the specific types of corporations, how you can organize legally speaking.
Of course, and the main reason for that, and I think your audience would understand, if you're trying to design a tax that gets after the biggest of the big corporations, the 1,000 companies of large and out-of-state corporations, majority of those are C corporations. We didn't want small business to pay. We believe that small business and working families already pay enough, and so we put Measure 97 very purposely together to go after those largest of large companies.
Well, it's my understanding you keep talking about large out-of-state corporations. 200 of the corporations are within our own state.
Yeah, I said large and out-of-state. And if I missed saying and out-of-state, that's my mistake. But it is very much intended to be C corporations, $25 million in Oregon sales, large and out-of-state corporations. We know, because they're registered, 80% of those corporations, think Walmart, Monsanto, you know, those kinds of outfits, are headquartered in other states. They are not headquartered in Oregon.
Skip, I did want to ask, are there Clatsop County companies that would be directly affected by this tax?
I'm sure they're, I really don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but most people think that this is just going to be the corporations are going to pay. But I talked to a representative of the local fishing industry. It's going to affect fishermen because the canneries can't move. They can't move out of state, or the fish processors. They have to be here. And so places like Bornstein's, big, big employer, they if they get hit with any of this, they have to pass that on to the fishermen as lower prices for the product. So this theory that only the big corporations are going to get hurt, it just does not hold water.
All right, gentlemen, I'm going to take a short break and let our listeners know that they are listening to a discussion about the ballot measure 97 on the November 8th ballot. The show is Perspectives, and I'm your host, Joan Herman, on Coast Community Radio. We'll be back after a short break. Welcome back to Perspectives. I'm Joan Herman. If you're just joining me, the topic of today's show is Measure 97, the controversial proposal that would raise an estimated $3 billion to fund many state programs. Joining us on the phone today is Measure 97 supporter Otto Schell, who is the legislative director of the Oregon PTA. And in the studio with me is Measure 97 opponent Skip Hauke, who is the director of the Astoria-Warrenton Area Chamber of Commerce. So I'd like to get back to the discussion about what businesses would pay under Measure 97. And according to the Ernst & Young study, Oregon businesses have the lowest tax rate of all 50 states in the nation. So why shouldn't businesses pay more of their fair share, Skip?
Now, are you talking small business or are you talking the large corporations? Because there's a big difference. This is aimed at large corporations, and those opposing 97, we feel very strongly about the fact that that money will get transferred down from step to step to step down to the consumers. Even our own state legislative review officer says it will cost the average Oregon family at least $600 a year. Now, I don't know what the pros have to say, but the Oregon legislature is saying it's going to cost money. And so I don't know who's telling the truth on this. I really don't. Sometimes we have to go with the attorneys that are representing the legislature.
Otto, any response to that?
Yeah, you bet. So the report that Skip's referring to, the Legislative Revenue Office, Paul Warner is the guy who is a very sharp guy, and he leads that office and advises the legislature. The problem is, and I think, Skip, you are representing the confusion that surrounds the Legislative Revenue Office report, because they I'm not an economist, and I've learned a lot about this working on this campaign. They have to make assumptions, and the assumption that was made by the Legislative Revenue Office, LRO is what we call it, was that they could model a broad-based tax. They could not model a tax that only taxed 1,000 companies. So then they took that and they divided it by the number of citizens in Oregon and came up with a per-person number. The reality is the LRO model does not model Measure 97. And we think we can represent to the voters that if you go and look at the Citizens Initiative Review Panel, they actually have a piece in the voter pamphlet statement. This is a group of voters. 20 voters were brought together for 4 days in Monmouth to digest this measure. Their findings are in the voter pamphlet statement, and they wrestled with this. And what they found, and LRO presented to that panel, is they found that a majority of the price would be passed through to stockholders for these big corporations, and that was much more likely to occur. They voted, majority of them, 11-9, voted to support a yes vote on Measure 97. Again, I invite voters who are still making up their mind to go and look at the voter pamphlet statement, because I think it will give them the balance, plus and minus, of how this might work.
Well, I don't know any of these folks, but I think the no voters have to kind of take a look at who's talking and follow the word coming out of the legal offices of the state of Oregon. And you know, you read a short piece. I'd like to read one too. The deceptive language of Measure 97 and its ballot wording try to make voters believe the money would be declared to a few specific things like education. But Measure 97 is not a constitutional amendment. So under the state law and Oregon Supreme Court decisions, it cannot bind the legislature's spending decisions. As the legislature's own top legal authority, the Legislative Council, has stated, the legislature can spend this money any way they want. For example, it could be used to bail out the pension fund of the government employees who created 97 and are funding the campaign to pass it.
I respect what you're offering, Skip, and I'll tell the listeners to go look at who our coalition is. We are Oregonians. We are neighbors and friends. We're the folks on the front lines. It's not just the unions. We're happy to have the union support because every one of those unions represents thousands and thousands of frontline workers. Who are your teachers, your firefighters, your folks that are in your home health care, providing care for folks. And what I read was the actual mandate of the statute that would be created by the passage of Measure 97. And the voters will actually, they can go and look at that right in their voter pamphlet statement and see that it shall be used for education, health care, and seniors.
So, Skip.
Well, we have a little disagreement there that probably should go through the court system or something, because what we're seeing is this is not a constitutional amendment,
and it is not. It's statutory. I don't disagree with you on that.
Yeah, and it can be changed at any time. It can be changed. If it got passed, it can be changed.
So what would be a workable compromise then, Skip?
Well, I think I'm not against a corporate tax. But I think there are probably better ways to do it, and evidently members of the legislature are thinking the same way because they're working on it right now, even before the thing gets passed, if it gets passed. And I think this is, I get back to the initial point, this, for people that look at it clearly, this is a backdoor approach to a sales tax. It's hard for me or other no voters to believe that this is not going to get passed down the line, and it's too large an issue that the corporations can't pass it on. And it's just, I don't know the answer. I'm not against education. My daughter's a teacher, and she has large classrooms. There's just got to be a better way to do it than this backdoor approach.
The legislature was trying to come to an agreement, I believe, before this measure was created or went on the ballot, and both sides could not come to an agreement.
That's right.
They were at a stalemate, so how would post Measure 97, if it doesn't pass, be any different?
I don't know, but you would hope that there are enough learned people in on both sides that they could sit down and come up with a better way to fund education. We need the money. I know we need the money. But it's just, this to me is just a really backward approach to getting it.
So I wish that Skip and I could be made kings for the day, and we could figure this out. But the reality is,
I think we could.
I would say you and I seem to have a lot of shared concerns about basic funding of things, and I don't disagree.
Absolutely.
So here's the challenge, though.
And we've got just about a minute left.
Okay.
Otto.
Well, so for 25 years we've waited for this. So it was Governor Kitzhaber's first couple of times in office. Governor Kulongowski for 8 years. Every one of them tried to convene a blue ribbon panel or some kind of effort. The reality is they have to have a supermajority in the legislature. It has to be passed by the governor, and then we know everything goes to the ballot. And we've waited for 25 years and through multiple governors and multiple legislatures without effect. And our schools suffer, our families suffer, and we think that Measure 97 is a reasonable approach. It's the one viable approach for revenue, and we're hoping the voters will see it for what it is and support it on Election Day.
I agree with you that it's a supermajority, but if it passes and goes to the legislature and they make any change they want to make, then it only requires a simple majority. And so any change can be made, and we don't get to vote on it at all. So Skip, why are we voting?
Thank you. I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. So thank you for joining me in the studio and by telephone, Otto and Skip. You have been listening to a discussion of Measure 97 with supporter Otto Schell, who is the legislative director of the Oregon PTA, and Measure 97 opponent Skip Hauke, who is the executive director of the Astoria-Warrenton Area Chamber of Commerce. This has been Perspectives with your host, Joan Herman. Join us in 2 weeks when we will have a discussion of the North Coast's shortage of affordable housing, and I'll be teaming up with the Daily Historian for that show. Thanks.